Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the constantly changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. You know, Arby's with me today. Arby Abramian. Hi, Arby.
How are you, Jeff?
I'm great. Thank you. You know, we've done the show for a while now, and every time I do that opening, it just comes out like sing-songy. I think I really have to change up the way I'm doing it. You know, get more hard news or get more like clowny. I don't know. Anyway,
how about 50-50, both?
Exactly. Well, I think I switch it up.
So you can, the serious listeners can listen to the serious part.
Right.
And, you know, the listeners who like to have fun can listen to the other part.
I think that's the way it got to go. So from now on, everybody at the radio station, we will know that I will be either sing-songy, clowny, or very serious.
How about that?
Hard news today, folks. And here it is from Malibu Funding, Inc., your voice in the mortgage industry. This is kind of Walter Cronkite-y.
That's right.
And for everybody, anybody who's under 50, have no idea who I'm talking about. Anyway, let's get into what we have today's show. News to use. What do we have for him today?
Oh, there's a lot of news on the
great.
The
let's
web.
Hear.
So we're
going to
go through some of them.
Okay.
One thing that it's based on today. So it says stocks and bonds are near unchanged level ahead of 2 p.m. Eastern release of the Fed monetary policy treatment.
Okay. So the Federal Open Market State. Committee meeting today will be meeting, and they give indications as to what's going to happen in the future. We've talked about this on shows past. What happens is in 10 years ago, nobody paid attention to this stuff. The Fed would meet, they would send out their open market committee meeting minutes, and then nobody would dissect them. Today, everybody dissects every word. And as a part of that, Janet Yellen has, and she's, of course, chairman of the Fed, she has actually opened up the whole process to say, hey, look, here's what we're doing, here's transparency, here are the minutes of the meeting, you guys look at this and try to figure out what we're going to do with both quantitative easing, with rate adjustments, determining where unemployment is going, because all these things affect you, the listener out there who's looking to get a mortgage. What does it all mean to me? I need a rate. I need availability of money. I need new programs. So because of that, because these minutes are going to be sent out today, you're going to have fluctuations in the marketplace one way or the other. Rates are going to go up. Bonds are going to go down. Bonds are going to go up. Rates are going to go up. Whatever it is that is going to be affected by this Federal Open Committee market meeting, who wrote that for us today?
This is from one of our reps, partner reps. Her name is Suzanne Perez.
Okay, and she works for?
She works for Vantage Mortgage Pacific Union Financial. I'm sorry, Suzanne.
I'm sorry. Anyway, we work with Pacific Union on the mortgage broker side. We have about 40 different lenders that we work with, and we receive daily updates. This is one of the good ones where she will tell us what's happening in the marketplace according to what her particular sources are telling her and relays it to us in the mortgage broker channel. We send loans to them and they fund them, and then we obviously close the loan in their name, as opposed to on the correspondent side, we actually borrow the money, then lend the money and close the loan in Malibu Funding's name and then sell it to the secondary market. During many of the shows, we've talked about secondary, we've talked about primary, but all of these things are affected by the Fed. The Fed controls what's happening with the money. They control how the market is perceived. I also see that in another related article about quantitative easing. Quantitative easing is supposed to end today. Now, when this show airs, this will be several days in the past. Just know that the bond buying program and the mortgage-backed security program, which was called quantitative easing. I have no idea what that word means, but it just means that $85 billion a month, which is what was being spent in 2010, 2011, is now down to zero, and the Fed is out of bond buying and out of mortgage-backed securities. In relation to that, what else do you have for us?
There is an article from Real Time Economics.
Okay.
Just let's talk about it. Like, do you think Feds, do they have a crystal ball that's going to tell them what's going to happen in the future?
No, I nobody knows what's going to happen in the future.
There you go. So again, we've been talking about like for past 7 years, there's this doom and gloom news all over the CNN, wherever you go on about mortgage. Actually, this is a good news right here.
Okay, tell me. What does it relate to?
The good news, actually, I'm going to tell you the good news, and then we're going to go back to Q&E, which is quantitative
easing.
There you go. This one, it says the current time, there's no chance of raise of Fed funds. So they're not going to raise the rate.
So the no chance that the Fed funds rates are the rates that the Fed lends to member banks. And there are member banks in 9 different areas in the country that make up the Fed board. Okay, what else?
So now let's go back to Q&E, what we were talking
That's
about.
That's right, quantitative easing.
It says Grand Central Fed critics have been wrong about QE most ill effects. So they've been wrong about like what they were saying is going to happen.
Okay, let me just read this. This is an article by who is it by? I can't see who wrote the article. However, it does say Fed critics have been wrong about quantitative easing's most ill effects. So what was predicted and then what happened?
Well, they predicted the gold price is going to go up. But instead of going up, it went down.
And this is over what, 6 years, seven years of quantitative easing?
Correct,
okay,
correct.
Fine.
And this is actually the new data that gold has been gone. It's been down for about 6-8%.
Okay.
So they, from their calculation, they said it should be up by 8.9%.
Okay, so let's review this just so everybody really understands it. Quantitative easing, what does that really mean? The Fed prints money to buy mortgage-backed securities, to buy bonds. It's not like they have a big vault and there's all this money just waiting there to be spent. No, they have to print the money. So the critics were saying, if you do that, you will devalue the dollar. You will make gold prices go up. You will make interest rates go up. You will make oil prices go up. Because that's what inflation is. When you print money, you make money that exists less valuable. So what we're seeing, based on this particular article, and there are probably many arguments to the other side, but this particular article says, no, that isn't what happened, and here's the raw data. Read us some of these
just let's look at the market. The oil prices are down.
Oil prices are down.
Our currency is up.
The currency is up 6% over the last...
And gold is down.
And gold is... Right. The three indicators that the critics of quantitative easing said would not happen. Just the opposite they said would happen. So now, because we're in a vacuum and we're looking at this in a time capsule way, maybe in 6, 8, 10 months, things will reverse around and people will reach back and say, well, the reason this is happening is because of QE back then. But the immediate effects, or the immediate effects of the last 7 years, and now that QE is ending today, it's gone, it's done. So what happened? Obama came in based on what Paulson did with Bush, and based on who's the Treasury Secretary right now? Sheesh, I can't remember.
They changed it so many times.
It's Summers, I think. Yeah. Anyway, what they both did, as well as the Fed, whether it's Bernanke or Yellen, is to pump money into the system. This is basic economics of what they said would have prevented the Great Depression, was to keep the spigots open and to keep spending money. Now, I am not an economist, okay? And I am not political in any regards. But all I can say is when in 2007 and 2008 and 2009, when dust balls are rolling across my office floor and it's me staring out the window and wondering what I was going to do next in life, we were all pretty scared. And whatever happened from that time to today, where I'm more worried about, oh my gosh, I want to grow my business, I want to hire new people, I want to... Blah, blah, blah. It sounds like something worked.
Big change, yes.
It sounds like...
Yellen's been yelling.
Yes. Yellen has been yelling, by the way. No, she has not. I actually like her. She's very good, and I love the way she communicates. Okay, so we'll be right back on the show. I will be back with Arby, and my name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, and again, we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
My name is Jeff Barton, and welcome to The Mortgage Voice, Malibu Funding, Inc., 888-713-2929. And you're listening to us up on the KDOW radio station in the Bay Area, San Francisco, San Jose, and Oakland. I want to say hi to everybody up there. We have a real exciting show today. And right off the bat, I want to get into an interview with Charles Gascombe. Charles is in the secondary mortgage market. And to describe what the secondary mortgage market is, we've had Chuck on a number of times. And in discussing what lenders you are using, whether it's a mortgage broker or whether it's Bank of America, everybody takes loans and sells them to somebody, and then they eventually end up with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. Chuck, how are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
We're just awesome. Thank you very much. In your capacity there at your particular company, why don't you tell everybody, first of all, who you work for so that I don't screw up the name once again?
Not a problem. The company I work for is United Security Financial.
Right. And that's
United Security Financial, located in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Okay, great. And your company is a purchaser of loans on the secondary market, right?
Correct. We are a Ginnie Mae seller servicer, a Fannie Mae seller servicer, and we do USDA as well.
Okay, excellent. Now, if you're a customer, you're out there, you are being either called by Cash Call, Loan Mart, Greenlight, any of these companies, plus the people who currently have your mortgage, whether it be one of the large banks or one of the large servicers, they need people to buy the loan they're going to originate. So what happens in the marketplace when you're out there shopping for a loan? You want to be able to talk to a lender, a direct service, a company that can sell directly to a person like Chuck, so that there's no middle person that they need an extra approval process with. Now, when you're assessing loan viability and the nature of whether the loan's a good fit for you guys or not, you send out guidelines and rate sheets. How do yours differ from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac when they send out their particular guidelines to you? Or do you differ?
Well, that's the one interesting thing. A lot of issuers are what they're called in the market, Jeff. You have lenders like yourself who will have loans and that will come through. A lot of the issuers have what we call overlays.
Right.
And so when Fannie or Freddie or Ginnie issue the rate sheets or guidelines, what will happen is that the other companies will have certain overlays or red flag requirements that they will actually utilize in the course of rating a loan or locking a loan. The difference between them and us is we don't have any overlays, so we directly offer the borrower exactly what Fannie, Freddie, or Ginnie is offering. So there'll be no overlays or no adjustments or no risk assessment fees added to a loan. We will simply give you what they give us.
Okay, and what that does for you if you're a Malibu Funding customer. Now, this is a plug for Malibu Funding. We deal directly with United Security Financial. And what happens in that relationship is we as well don't put any overlays on the loan. So what you're getting from us is what they're giving to us. So we don't have to take the loan and then send it out to our secondary market to get reapproved. Meaning that if you're working with a company who has overlays now and they're taking that loan and they're sending it on to their secondary market before that secondary market purchaser can then turn around and sell it to either Fannie or Freddie or Ginnie, we're cutting out one of the steps and you're getting the benefit of the lowest rate possible. That's what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely what we're talking about, Jeff. It's the most important thing. A lot of times you'll have a fee and it would look great as though as if you were getting it directly from an issuer, a Ginnie issuer, Fannie issuer, Freddie issuer. But what happens is they create a whole nother window or level of pricing adjustments that add on to you. So you may see one fee or one rate will happen actually, Jeff, is they'll add other things on top of it. Like you said, that will increase it. So you start out at a 4% and you end up at a 5.5% because of the other things that they add on. The power and the beauty that you have, Jeff, is with dealing with a direct issuer is that You have the ability to say, I'm passing on the savings through you. And if Jeff quotes you a 4.25, then Jeff, you actually can give a 4.25.
Okay, excellent. What are the turn times over that we provide through you guys to the customers in terms of if we've got a purchase or a refinance and it's time sensitive? What are we talking about? That's another benefit here, right? Obviously, because we're dealing direct, we can turn these around pretty quickly once we get a full package in.
Absolutely. Jeff, in normal cases, you know, people always like to say 30 days for a loan. In our case, with a package, because you're dealing directly with the actual issuer or the seller servicer, and what I mean by that, to be just more specific, is that we actually service the loan. So you're actually making your payments directly to the lender. Because of that, we actually have the ability to shorten the process because we guideline right by Fannie or Ginnie Mae's guidelines. So, Jeff, what that means in turnaround time is it probably knocks off a whole 2 weeks from a 30-day process.
Exactly. So you're dealing with better pricing and a quicker process, especially in purchase in tough markets like we have up in San Francisco right now, where the inventory is tight, prices are high, and being able to come in as a borrower or a buyer in that case to be able to say, look, here are the finances I have. These people can turn it around in 2 weeks. That's probably going to be a benefit to anybody who's looking for a loan in that particular market if they're competing with other buyers. And I'm assuming you see that all over your portfolio of business, not only in California, but obviously in Utah and some of the other states you work in.
Absolutely, Jeff. We're licensed in 49 states, and we see that all over the place. I mean, you're absolutely right.
What do you see as the cost of money and how it's going to be affected with, today I guess they're releasing some minutes from the Fed Open Market Committee meeting, and I guess we're going to get some indication as to where rates will be going in the new year since we're already deep into the fourth quarter. But what are your prognosticators saying over there about where we're heading in rates, or are we treading water for a while?
The interesting thing is that, you know, as the markets fluctuate and the volatility occurs throughout, obviously everybody adjusts. But Jeff, with us, obviously we're not going to have the deep adjustments that the others will have since we are issuer.
Right.
Now, obviously the market will affect everybody.
Right,
but
of course.
We foresee it being in a good space and place. And anybody who's dealing with us, such as yourself, will still be able to provide their borrowers and their clientele very good rate and very good pricing and still good turnaround time, even based upon what the market's going to be. And we foresee it to be stable, into the upcoming year.
In the state you work in Utah, most of the citizens or the people, they live in and around Salt Lake, I'm imagining. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, and that's a vacation destination as well as obviously a tremendous business center in the area. And I know that you've lived in a number of different places in terms of you've lived in Las Vegas and you've been down in Atlanta and certainly a number of other places. You're looking at big cities versus rural, and I know that you'd mentioned the USDA product. Can you just give us an indication as to how you're looking at loans from, let's say, a big city versus a rural area? Because we have listening audiences in both, in terms of both the appraisals, the availability of money, and how you guys look at it on the secondary market in terms of purchasing loans in areas that may not necessarily have the most sales in.
Well, that's a very great question, Jeff. And you know what? That's exactly why the government created the USDA loan program. Everyone in the big cities, obviously, you know, people feel like the money is going to be in those places. But what the government did, and they made it important for other individuals, you know, and a lot of these people are the lifeblood of how we run in the bigger cities, because they're your farm areas, they're your produce areas, those situations. And those people have to live just as well. And they spend a lot of money and buy a lot of property just as everyone else does in the bigger cities. And so basically, they offer great programs that are very, very competitive and are highly incentive driven for individuals who are not in those densely populated areas. are in population areas that are less than 100,000. And the USDA provides a great situation, and we happen to be insuring that and can provide those types of loans, Jeff. And obviously, and very competitive, if not the same or better, than the actual Ginnie, Fannie, Freddie products as well.
Well, thanks, Chuck. I really appreciate you coming on again. And obviously, we're going to be doing this more and more. People need to know what happens when their loan is actually lent to them by a lender and then in the secondary market and how that affects their rate and their overall performance. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Charles, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm always here. It's a pleasure. I look forward to doing a lot more business and more loans for everybody, Jeff.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And I'm Jeff Barton. We'll be right back.
This is The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For questions or comments, send email to info@malibufunding.net. Don't go away. The Mortgage Voice will return in a moment on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929, Malibu Funding, Inc. Our website is www.malibufunding.net. I'm excited about today's show and about this particular segment. One of the things in the real estate and the mortgage industry is information. As everybody knows, information is worth a lot. So let's drift back to 1995. I had just opened a company called econdo.com. It was based in Los Angeles, and it was going to be the place where you went if you wanted to buy a condo in both Los Angeles and New York and Chicago and all the cities and destinations in between, Atlanta and Des Moines and St. Louis. The idea was we were going to take information about every condominium in the United States. We're going to take pictures of every condominium in the United States, both the exterior building and the interior unit, and to be able to have the homeowners association documentations, the tax information, anything and everything condo related would be online. This was a very exciting new idea. And as everybody remembers in those days, well, maybe you don't remember, but certainly the people up in our listening area on Sand Hill Road, by the way, as a quick digression, in the industry magazine, Scotsman's Guide, there is a terrific article about Sand Hill Road, the competition for money in the area, the competition for space in the area in that particular place up in the Bay Area. And if anyone wanted to go to it, there is certainly an online version at scotsmansguide.com. I get mine every month, but I just wanted to give a shout out to everybody up in the Bay Area. Hello, and thanks to KDOW again for putting us on the air. Okay, so let's get back to drifting back in history. 1995, I started this company, econdo.com, and our dream was to put all of the information online. And of course, at those times, I remember my first real estate site, in those days, I think it cost me $50,000, and I think it was basically something you can get out of the box today for about $9.95. But that was then, and this is now. And what I did in those days is that I went to the city of Santa Monica. Now, in Santa Monica, there are nothing but condominiums. There are nothing but multifamily residences in that city. So I personally went out with a digital camera, which didn't really exist in those days either, not to the quality that they do now on your cell phone, but I actually took pictures of thousands of buildings, personally did it. This was before Google, this was before Zillow, this was before any of it. The idea of what I had was sound. Obviously, all those great companies have taken the same idea and worked magic with it in terms of the information you can get online. But in those days, this is what we did, and this is what I did. And we had the eCondo brand, and it was trademarked, and the whole idea was to provide in one-stop shop everything condo related. Well, obviously, I ran out of money. Oh, and conversely or adversely or in conjunction with, I also developed software through a patent that we had that would allow you to have a GPS locator so that when you were in a vicinity of an area you wanted to live in, automatically on your cell phone would pop up properties for sale that matched your criteria. So we went through the patent process, and it was a long and involved thing. Well, now it seems almost rudimentary. It seems like if you want to be both in the real estate space, if you want to be in the GPS space related to real estate, it's so easy. You just go to Trujillo, you go to Zillow, or you used to go to Realtor.com. Which brings me to what I wanted to talk about today. Information, how information is used, how information is sold, and how information that you provide is being used to your advantage or disadvantage. I have no real opinion, except in this particular space with Realtor.com. I'm a Los Angeles-based guy, and I belong to California Association of Realtors, as well as the National Association of Realtors, as well as the National Association of Mortgage Professionals, as well as the National Association of Independent Housing Professionals. All of these organizations have information. What happens to this information? So at the beginning, Realtor.com, let's go back to, let's say, the year 2000, maybe a little bit before, but certainly right about there, 1998 to 2000, Realtor.com combined information of every realtor website, all the associations of realtors' information about properties, whether it's your local association, the state association, or the national association, began to put all the information about every property for sale, every property that has been sold in America, into a database. And they presented it to the public as Realtor.com. Well, at that time, I thought that this was great. I thought this was finally going to break down the barriers so that anybody who wanted to buy a house anywhere could get information by themselves, and they really didn't have to go to the local realtor. They could do all of the research themselves. They could find out about the properties that they wanted to buy, and at that point, they could contact a realtor, because the realtor's job not only is helping them find the property, but mainly it is to walk them through the disclosures, the contracts, the negotiation portions of what is a very complex and tedious thing that you can't learn on your own. I mean, it's the same thing with a lawyer, with a doctor. You can find out all this information online, but you really need the experience of a professional to be able to walk you through and help you so that you don't stumble and fall and cost you money and lawsuits and everything else. So this information, which was aggregated, these are words that came to pass during the time where we were figuring out the internet with real estate properties. So all the properties are combined. Realtor.com came about, and the National Association of Realtors owned them, which meant that each individual who paid their dues, we also owned it. But in addition to that, they went public, and they began to sell shares of stock. So I, being a realtor, I bought shares of stock in Realtor.com, and I bought 250 shares. I don't know what it cost me at the time, but as you remember, back during the internet bubble days and soon thereafter, everything was bloated, overvalued, everything else. So I bought 250 shares. I don't know what I paid for, $10 a share, $20 a share, who knows? So we come now to 2014. Yesterday in the mail, I received a informational flyer from a company called Move, Inc. Move, Inc. is what Realtor.com became. Realtor.com morphed into Move, Inc. Move, Inc. is on the NASDAQ in the informational section like Trujillo and like Zillow. Well, recently, Zillow and Trujillo, or whatever, however you pronounce it, they merged. So the information that we're gathering in the realtor space is consolidating. So what I received in the mail was from the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, Move.com is being sold to another entity owned by Fox News Corp. So I'm drifting back to the days. What is it? Trulia. Thank you, Desiree. My producer here at the show is telling me it's true. What is it, Trulia?
Trulia.com.
Okay, Trulia.com. So now what we've got is a consolidation in the real estate space of information about real estate across the United States. It's been monetized, and now we have, Realtor.com to Move, Inc. is now going to be something else. But what happens to this information? I'm a realtor. I put listings on there. I am now in bed with Fox News Corp. or Rupert Murdoch because I'm now selling to them? Anyway, they're saying if you want to sell your shares of stock, it's a one-time offer, and here's what it is. So I'm like, I don't want to sell my shares of stock. I just wanted to own a little piece of the realtor world with which I do business. I thought that that was a good thing to do then, and I still think it's a good thing to do now. But because of the information, because of the demand on the information, because of the consolidation in the information field, National Association of Realtors said, hey, we can sell out now and still control the information. I don't know how it all works. It's very confusing to me. But the world itself that I knew back when we started this in 1995 is completely new. And guess what? It's going to change again. The entire face of real estate is only beginning to tip the surface in the internet world. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry, 888-713-2929.
For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. And stick around for more of the Mortgage Voice on AM 1220 KDOW. Welcome back to the Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. 888-713-2929, Malibu Funding, Inc. You can give us a call right now, get in line, and we're ready to hear and answer all your questions about mortgage loans, mortgage refinances. I'm really pleased and happy today. I have a friend of mine who's on the show who is also a business owner. As the audience knows, we do an entrepreneurial series where we interview and talk to people who own businesses, who have gone out into the marketplace, into the world, and have been successful and are currently successful at doing something, at building something, at trying to create the American dream for not only themselves, but their family and those around them. So we're excited to have Mike Pearson on today. ZJ's is his surf shop down in Santa Monica, California. Hi, Mike.
Well, hi, Jeff, and thanks for having me on the show.
I really appreciate you coming down. Okay, tell our audience, Mikey has been in the surf business for, how long have you been doing your line of work, Mikey?
I started in 1985 and opened this particular store in 1988.
Okay, great. And you obviously have friends in the business in the Bay Area, which I'm sure you can give a shout out to at any time. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, we know people all over the country, including right. The Bay Area, absolutely.
Okay, that's great. Part of what we want to do is to get your insights as to how your business is today versus, you know, a year or two ago and what you're seeing in that segment of the marketplace. A lot of the parts of the country, like in Las Vegas, we're going to have a lot of click-offs here because there's not a lot of surf out there unless you're surfing the dunes. However, what are you looking at in terms of both where we've been in your particular business and where we might be headed?
Well, like many businesses, ours has evolved and changed a great deal. And some of those changes have been difficult and some have offered a lot of opportunity. I'd say briefly, I can tell you that the amount of public companies that have entered into our retail space has been one of the bigger changes, as well as the massive increase in distribution channels, pricing pressure, even increase in government regulation, all sorts of challenges like that have occurred.
Well, we have a lot of listeners up in the Bay Area, especially on Sand Hill Road. These companies that are getting into your space, you're obviously talking about multinational corporations, Billabong. What are some of the other companies in that space that are obviously looking to, take over the surf business?
Well, it's more than just the big brands that are known, such as Quiksilver, right. Billabong, Volcom, Nike now owns Hurley, and so they're making a really big stab into the market. Those companies have actually been in the market long enough that they're considered core parts of the market, even though they are public. But it's larger companies such as Amazon, people that are really big that are trying to tap in to the culture, the lifestyle, the accessories, the clothing that people want to wear, as well as some of the hard goods as well.
Oh, say, so what you're saying here is the online making inroads into the retail space in your business. Obviously, it doesn't sound like it's a good thing for the small guy, or is it? I mean, do people still want to touch and feel?
You know, yes, you're right. But like everything that's a challenge, it's also an opportunity. When online first hit our industry, it it was difficult. It was unknown. We weren't sure how to respond. We lost some customers that were price shopping.
Right.
Customers would come in and spend a lot of our time to gain knowledge and then leave to buy it somewhere else without even giving us a chance at the sale. What's occurred for us since then is I think we've done a decent job of letting our customers know why they should buy it here. Why, if we're going to give them the knowledge and we're going to give them the customer service, why they need to support us. And that's actually going pretty well. It's not 100%, but I'm always surprised how many people, when they review us on the review sites or when they come into the store, let us know that, hey, they are aware that maybe it's cheaper somewhere else, but the fact they can come down here and learn from an expert, try it on, touch it and feel it, as you said, that makes a huge difference to them.
Yeah.
And it gives us something that they can't get online. They can't know my best employees. They can't meet them and,
right,
and hear from someone who is a participant in the culture what the products really look like, work like, and how they'll last.
You know, I think that is absolutely the way it is in our business as well. We're in the mortgage industry, as you know, and especially in the real estate industry. You got to get out there. You got to touch and feel and look at the product. But also the interaction with the person who's doing the service for you is 90% of what the job is. And without that, the online experience becomes cold. I have tried to buy bikes online without a salesperson or a store behind it. It's frightful because you really don't know what you're getting. And then when you get it, do you have to ship it back? So is some of that what you're experiencing in terms of, you know, getting and gaining acceptance beyond just price?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for us, it's creating a unique experience is what we're about. So every challenge that comes along, whether it's the economy, competition on in multiple distribution channels or levels, you know, it gives us another chance to define ourselves. We have a very large competitor about to open against us. But you know what? It really opened our eyes to new ways to market ourselves, our product segmentation, just a bunch of ways that we can run our business to do a better job at what we're experts in. So we take all challenges over the last 26 years as an opportunity to improve and grow.
Okay, and I know you personally for a long time, and I know that you've been involved in a number of SURF charities, and the one recently that you were talking to me about. Can you just describe the charity that you obviously enjoy working with and have had a lot of experience with over a number of years and been very involved with? I think if you could just, I can't remember the exact name. I think it's not SURF Aid.
It's called SURF Aid,
yes,
and
yes,
while we're involved with many charities here, it's a big part of what we do.
Right.
SURF Aid is something near and dear to my heart,
right,
that I came upon while surfing in remote areas of Indonesia in the Mentawai Islands. And it's a charity discovered by another surfer who is a doctor, or founded by another surfer who is a doctor, that runs medical programs in some of the most isolated and also beautiful parts of the world. Started dealing with malaria, and now really deals more with mother and child health programs,
right,
clean water programs, nutrition, in areas where some of the villages, when they first came along, would have a 50% mortality rate with children under 5, and now they've managed to cut that down to less than 5 or 10% in most of the villages.
That's
so
awesome.
We've been very involved with them. The founder is a very good friend. The charity was also ground zero during the huge tsunami. That's exactly where the tsunami occurred, is where they operate.
Right.
So they became very famous then because they are the only real operator in the area. So been helping them for many years, and recently we did a annual huge fundraiser here in Malibu out at Surf Rider Beach. We have basically a surf contest, which is a fundraising vehicle, and we managed to raise about $130,000 in one weekend, and it was very successful.
Oh, that's awesome, Mikey. And the money specifically goes to water projects, netting. What are some of the other things that you're doing?
Yeah, exactly. What we do is this charity is a little different than others. It doesn't go in and drop off supplies and leave. It doesn't drop off malaria nets and leave. They really, what they do is they find people, such as the moms in the villages that are really interested in seeing the health of the families, improve, and they train them. They train them in why clean water is important, how to build a well,
Right.
The village gathers around, they build a well. Then that village and those people can help other people build a well. Clean water programs are huge. Nutrition programs, infant nutrition programs are very big. Of course, malaria, when they first came along, they didn't even know exactly what caused malaria.
Right.
So we've been able to teach them that. If you drop off a net, they'll go fishing with it. So you have to really show them how the net works,
how
to use it, and be more involved in their village for 6 months to a year often before the programs really start, so that they know you and you know them.
Mikey, where can people give or get more information about that if they wanted to?
Well, thank you. That would be at surfaidinternational.org. I don't know if there's a better abbreviation. It's kind of a long name, but
right.
surfaidinternational.org is the website.
Well, you know,
and they
what?
Have a great deal of information there, including the fact that a few years ago they were voted the number one NGO or charity in the world by the organizing body of that. So a big honor for them.
Mikey, I really appreciate you coming on. I love SurfAid. I love the fact that you're deeply involved in it. I've known you a long time. I respect you as a guy, a business owner, and certainly somebody who's altruistic in giving their time to these type of things. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Mikey Pearson from ZJ's. What's the number of the store in case somebody wants to get a hold of you?
Absolutely. 310-392-5646 is our phone number. You can find us online, obviously, at ZJ Boarding House is our name, so ZJBH.com. And feel free to contact us anytime about anything.
Thank you very much, Mikey. My name is Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Malibu Funding, 888-713-2929. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit MalibuFunding.net. MalibuFunding.net. We'll be right back with more on AM 1220 KDOW. Now back to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton on AM 1220 KDOW.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Jeff Barton. Along with me is Arvi Abramian. Hi, Arvi.
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm just great. Thank you very much. And we had a great show today. And I want to thank all the people who came on the show, Charles Gisgambe from United Security Financial and Mikey Pearson from ZJ Boarding House down in Santa Monica, local surf shop. And we love talking to entrepreneurs, business people. One thing, I'm going to give a shout out to the audience. I need more people on the air who have done something in business to excite and motivate not only their employees, but the marketplace around them. I love energetic, optimistic stories and people. They lend to the conversation as opposed to detracting from the conversation. We are in a very, I don't know, whether it's a cornerstone or whether we're in some kind of a turning point, but as we talked about with the Fed, right?
That's right.
Okay. The Fed QE is gone. No more QE. It's out the window. Okay, so we are entering a phase in the marketplace where rates are still down, right?
They're down.
What are rates currently going for?
Currently, the 30 years today was at 3.875.
Okay, 3.875, 30-year fix. That's at par, correct?
That's at par.
Okay, and par, for everybody that doesn't know, is that means that that is the lowest rate. Without you paying for discount points, what we could offer you, 3.875, is that what it is? 3.875 on a 30-year fix.
30-year fix.
And FHA is a little different, correct?
Of course.
Okay, so what we're talking about here is rates are low. Okay, very good. Next week's show, we're going to have a lot of very interesting guests, as well as some of the guests that we've had today. One thing I wanted to ask you about on the refinance, we had talked a little about refinancing a property, some of the reasons that you want to refinance. Why? I mean, there are some great programs out there. There's HARP, and there's the
201K.
Yes, obviously, the 203K,
right?
203K,
yes.
Right? And there's obviously HECM, the reverse mortgage products. All of these are designed in the market, the kind of market we have today. And what is the kind of market we have today? Property
values are going up.
That's correct.
Interest rates are down. but the mortgage activity is not that high.
Right. So this tells us that banks are hungry for your business. Now is a great time to go in. You're going to get exceptions that you probably wouldn't get in a tighter market. There's a ton of money out there. As a lender, I know what I'm talking about. The ease by which banks want to be able to give you loans in the current climate is different than it was a year ago, 6 months ago, 12 months ago. We have lenders that you can be one day out of BK and get yourself a loan. We have lenders that can relax a lot of the restrictions on FHA loans down to 580 FICO score. This was unheard of 6-8 months ago. The reason is?
This was unheard of 2 years ago.
Right, exactly right. And the reason is because the large banking institutions make money on turning loans over and over. It's not necessarily the fees, but when you have a loan, you can sell it to Fannie Mae, to Freddie Mac. You can hold it yourself. Then you have the servicing rights that you make money on. But if the volume of the loans is down, which it is today, interest rates are down. Interest rates are down because they're trying to spur activity. This tells you that it's an ideal time to refinance the property for whatever the top five reasons is we came up with, and you can come up with your own. Why do you need the money? Maybe you just want to have a pile of cash in the bank for the day that you can say, hey, that property I want to buy in order to get, you know, an income from it. Or sure. I want to, you know, send my kids to college or whatever it is. If you need the money, best time to do it is when the banks need your loan. And that is exactly what's happening right now in the marketplace. How's the economy doing?
Economy is moving forward.
It's better, right?
It's better.
Okay.
Dollar is down. Currency is up.
Currency is up, right, exactly. The currency is up. Employment rates. Okay, in our listening audience, real estate is tight. Money is available, however. We can get you into something, probably $450,000, $500,000 up in the Bay Area, maybe not San Francisco downtown, but certainly in that area. Give us a call. We've been talking to a number of realtors in different places in the country, not only in California. As you all know, we're broadcast both in the Bay Area and down in Los Angeles area, as well as out in Las Vegas, and we're soon to broadcast the show in other areas in metropolitan San Diego, Los Angeles.
Jeff, you're going to be a national superstar.
I don't want to be a superstar. The only thing I want to do is bring information to people who can use it.
That's
and
right.
In news to use, some of the things that we discussed today were awesome as well.
It's very informative.
Yes, thank you very much. We are a very informative show. Yes, if we don't mind saying so ourselves. Actually, we do get a lot of comments on that, and I do appreciate people calling or emailing or texting or any number
or
of ways.
Just liking us on the Facebook.
Yeah. Younger people, obviously. Old guys like me barely can pick up the phone anymore, and I need somebody else to do that. But give us a call. We really love the show. Arby, thanks for coming on today.
Thank you, Jeff.
And we will see you again next week. My name
is... I'm going to be here in 2 weeks.
2 weeks, okay.
Yes.
So Arby will be back in 2 weeks, and I will make my best impression of him next week. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry.
This has been The Mortgage Voice with veteran mortgage broker Jeff Barton of Malibu Funding Incorporated. For more information, visit MalibuFunding.net, where you'll find a podcast of this program, along with past programs. You can also email Jeff Barton directly at info@MalibuFunding.net. And be sure to join us again next week at this time for The Mortgage Voice.
Jeff Barton, NMLS number 7968, and Malibu Funding, Inc., NMLS number 79620, are an equal housing lender. APR and ARM interest rates and loan options are subject to change based on market conditions and borrower eligibility. Call for additional information. Other restrictions may apply. For our latest offers, contact Malibu Funding at 1-888-713-2929, or for further information, go to MalibuFunding.net.